2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and of course, Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com, Cougar Tracks, Cougar Sports Saturday. We have had this thing, Mitch, where we believe everyone's a Muppet, right? And it kind of stems from Patrick Mahomes and his Kermit the Frog voice, right? So what Muppet would you be? That's what I want to know. What Muppet would Mitch Harper be?
Sam the Eagle and Fozzie Bear are already taken.
Oh, I was going to say Fozzie Bear seems like kind of my spirit animal in the Muppet world.
That's what I said, too.
But I would agree with that.
On, always has a hat on and just always has a quick line. Very round, rotund belly.
Yes. So. Gosh, I'm trying to blank on the other Muppets.
No. I think it's Fozzie. I don't think
it could be what? Okay. But, no, but here's why Fozzie might fit Mitch a little bit more, too. Because he has, like, a press hat on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he looks like he's got
a... That's what I was thinking. Right there, yes. The press hat. The vintage one.
By the way, we've also started our winter conditioning here at KSL's Unrivaled. Could you imagine what that would look like with us?
Well, we run to the donut store is what we do. We run there and we walk back.
Oh, my goodness. Just the amount of winter conditioning. This is... What's happening is we're going... I got to put on a few extra pounds for next winter. That's my winter conditioning. All right. Mitch is, of course, weighing in on a couple of things here. We're going to talk about BYU versus St. Mary's. It's coming up pregame here at 8 o'clock in less than 40 minutes here. So what I want to know is, right off the bat, before we get into basketball, I'm going to ask you to rank the best quarterbacks in BYU history. Now that we've had a go at Zach Wilson. And this might be the highest that Zach Wilson will ever be rated on Mitch Harper's list, because we are creatures of recency bias. The things that were right in front of us, we love shiny things and we love new things. And certainly Zach Wilson this year was a new thing. This was the best he's ever played. And this is you're going to see a guy likely go in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And I want to know where he ends up in terms of where you think he goes on that list of great quarterbacks at BYU. When you think, is he more like a John Beck type heritage after this, or is he more along the lines of maybe even a Jim McMahon type?
Yeah, I think he's knocking on the door of some of the greats in BYU football history, honestly. I mean, when you brought this up, I was like, perfect. I love, you know, thinking about who the greatest players in BYU history are at certain positions. And here's my list, guys. I got number one. I know this is controversial, too. Jim McMahon. I got him at number one. Number two, Ty Detmer. Young.
Scott agrees with you, and I almost do, too. I've been convinced over the years to agree with you, too.
Keep going.
Four, Mark Wilson.
Wait, what was two? Detmer?
Yeah, definitely.
Mark Wilson at number four. And right. Then this is where it might be gets a little bit sideways for some people. Five, I would go Max Hall. And then at number six, I would go Zach Wilson. Wow. I got Zach Wilson above Robbie Bosco, the national championship
winner.
Yeah,
but six is also pretty far down the line.
Yeah, but you know how many good quarterbacks
I know. He just listed off a lot of really good ones.
Here's the thing. Steve Young, I think he was a good quarterback at BYU, but he was a much better pro. He really was. And
you had him at three, Mitch? Is that where you put him?
Yes. Yeah. They have three.
He won the Davey O'Brien Award, though.
I know.
Like he was, it wasn't like he faked his way through.
Consensus All-American, too.
Yeah. I understand. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying.
Scott, do you know who Steve Young is?
My goodness.
All right.
Yeah, and he's even left-handed, okay? Look, I think he became a better player in the pros. And I read this article, Norm Chow. I mean, it's crazy the players that Norm Chow actually has coached in his career. It may be the best list of quarterbacks, period, bar none. And he goes, look, Steve was good at BYU, but he really became exceptional after he left.
That might affect our view,
right?
You know,
and that's what I'm trying to grapple with. What he did after compared to what
he did.
See,
that's
why – because I grew up watching Steve Young.
That's why McMahon was insane too, because you have the Heisman Trophy winner and a two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner and the guy who set all the records for everything in Ty Detmer, even beating all the Jim McMahon records.
Jim McMahon was –
McMahon was so insane. He passed all the eye tests, and he didn't have an amazing pro career like the one that he probably could have had if he wouldn't have had all the injuries. But it was that's why his accolades as a pro don't necessarily influence us. I think a lot of folks put him at that one.
I'm impressed with your list, Mitch. I think it
takes a lot of guts to not put the national champion Robbie Bosco on that. Zach Wilson.
Where is this BYU basketball team, though? I mean, I know I'm switching gears here.
You are switching. That's like without hitting the clutch, you switch gears there, buddy.
Can't find them, grind them. You know what I mean? Because we'll sit here and talk about this all night long.
I know.
We've got to talk about basketball.
We do. We
have to. And who is BYU this year? I mean, it's like we felt like we knew them a year ago, and there was a special team that got, shorted a little bit. But where is this team this year? Because I watched the Gonzaga game. I was like, whoa. It was like 30-2 before BYU started. Anyways, are they second place? Are they third place? Is it rebuilding? Where are they?
Well, that's the harsh reality, Scott. The WCC last Thursday highlighted that, and I think that's why sometimes fans get a little bit frustrated and annoyed with this league is because BYU and St. Mary's tonight. This is a great game, one of the best games in college basketball tonight, but they're basically playing for number two in the WCC because no one is going to touch Gonzaga this year. Maybe BYU can give the Zags a better game in Provo, but it's going to take a Herculean effort to beat that team in Provo. So these teams are basically playing for the hopes of an at-large bid and playing for number two in the WCC and get that bye all the way to the semifinal round in the WCC tournament. BYU's a good team. I think this is a top 30 team, I think, nationally. I think they're knocking on the door of a top 25 squad. I think it's just been taking a little bit longer than expected to bring this type of roster together with, like, they've incorporated a little bit different offense in terms of high-low. Like, last year it was – I mean, they were an elite passing team, and they'd work it all around the three-point line, and they were the best three-point shooting team in America. This year, it's just there's been some significant injuries. I think I personally downplayed the significance of Gavin Baxter, his injury earlier in the year. He was a starting power forward for this team. His injury set this team back a little bit, but still, I think that everything is in front of them to get to the big dance, which is something that hasn't happened for this program in 6 years. Whoa. And that would be quite an accomplishment. So tonight, if they can get the win in St. Mary's, that would put them back on track to, get working towards being in the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. They haven't won here in Moraga since 2014. It's been a long time.
It's a tough go for BYU down there in Moraga in that high school gym. However, there are not really home game. They're not home gym advantages are. Not really there right now, as we've already seen. That's why BYU, I think, is going to have a harder time trying to do what they accomplished last year in upsetting Gonzaga here in Provo, because it's just to have no home – the home crowd thing actually makes a difference. So I think that's going to be a big deal. Mitch Harper, Cougar Sports Saturday host, Cougar Tracks. You can follow him, of course, on KSLSports.com and all the social media platforms. Mitch is our BYU insider, and he's the best in the business. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, man. We appreciate it.
Always appreciate the time, guys.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. 8 o'clock is when you're going to get that BYU pregame versus St. Mary's. And then the tip at 9 o'clock right here on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back. More to go after news, traffic, and weather. Our NFL roundup right around the corner. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.